with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready. And health insurance is your financial safety net. Health insurance has never been so easy and affordable. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more,
give us a call at 800-801-2730. That's 800-801-2730.
I want to learn how to cook, but I keep ordering takeout.
Accomplishing goals is hard, but when your goal is to learn a new language, Babbel makes it easy. In just 15 minutes a day, Babbel will help you start having conversations in as little as 3 weeks. Words and phrases you'll actually use. So when someone asks,
"How's your French going?"
you can say,
"Babbel facilite grandement l'apprentissage d'une nouvelle langue."
Now try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. That's B-A-B-B-E-L.com. Babbel.com.
Why is Navage perfect for allergy sufferers? Rhino Systems Medical Director Dr. Howard Levine explains.
If someone's exposed to allergens, they can get rid of those immediately by washing out the nose. Navage works by pulling saline in one nostril, through the nose and out the other nostril, sucking out allergens, mucus, dust, and germs. Experience on-the-spot relief so you can breathe easier, sleep better, and feel healthier.
Navage is available at Sam's Club, Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, or online at Navage.com. Navage, breathe easy.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. America's largest population centers are bracing for dangerous heat as a heat dome settles over much of the country. In New York City,
the first heat wave of the season is here and we are ready.
Mayor Eric Adams.
Cooling centers will be open starting tomorrow, and we expect to hit a peak heat on Thursday and Friday with the heat index possibly reaching 99 degrees.
And in the West, firefighters in Los Angeles County battling a 15,000-acre wildfire that broke out on Saturday forced evacuations in the mountains north of L.A. President Biden meeting with NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg at the White House today. This after Stoltenberg said today that a record more than 20 NATO member nations are hitting the Western Military Alliance's defense spending target this year. The U.S. Surgeon General Monday calling for a social media platform health warning for younger users over mental health concerns. This is ABC News. Officials are trying to ease worries after two recent shark attacks on the Florida panhandle.
The three people bitten off the Florida coast on June 7th were not in deep water, but
this time of year is when we see the sharks closest to the shore.
Marine scientist Dr. Sean Powers says the sharks are there because the fish they eat are there. As for the number of attacks,
it's increased a little bit over the last few years, but globally it's around 65.
Compared to the 180 million Americans who visit U.S. beaches every year. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
The Summer Olympics in Paris are less than 2 months away, but high levels of E. coli in the Seine River are raising concerns ahead of the Games. The Seine will host several events, including the marathon swim and portions of the triathlon. Officials say heavy rain last month increased pollution levels, but they're optimistic water quality will improve with more favorable weather. I'm Dave Packer, ABC News.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Some people just know the best rate for you is a rate based on you with Allstate. And look at you, hands perfectly placed on the wheel. Not like the driver to the right of you who's really going after that drum solo. Save with DriveWise in the Allstate app and only pay a rate based on you.
Not available in every state, subject to terms and conditions. Rating factors and savings vary, and in some states your rate could increase with high-risk driving. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. Differing Wisconsin perspectives as the U.S. Supreme Court reverses a federal ban on bump stocks, Rob Kovac is president of NRA affiliate Wisconsin Firearm Owners.
We certainly just support the court's ruling that laws regulating lawfully
purchased firearm accessories need to come from Congress and not from unelected bureaucrats.
Tyler Kelly is communications fellow with Wisconsin Anti-Violence Education Fund.
There's been 47 mass shootings since 2020, while bump stocks have been banned, and we don't know how many more lives could have been lost if any of those 47 shooters had access to a bump stock.
The court's conservative majority ruled Friday the federal government overstepped in banning the accessory, which allows automatic fire from semi-automatic rifles. No one was injured after an airplane crashed in Sheboygan County Sunday afternoon. According to the sheriff's office there, three people were on the single-engine plane that crashed in a field near the Sheboygan County Memorial Airport in the town of Sheboygan Falls. A preliminary investigation found the plane had an engine malfunction, which required an emergency landing. Federal Aviation Administration is investigating the crash. Catholic bishops apologize for the church's role in operating Indian boarding schools.
The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops on Friday approved a document which cites a history of trauma inflicted on Native Americans. Most of the 11 Native American schools located in Wisconsin were operated by the federal government, but all such schools sought to instill Christian values while discouraging and in many cases punishing use of native languages and cultural practices. Generations of children were removed from their families to be forcibly assimilated into white culture at residential schools. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, showers, maybe a thunderstorm, highs in the upper 70s. For tonight, chance of a storm with lows around 74. Chance of showers and thunderstorms on your Tuesday, otherwise mostly sunny, windy with a high near 88. For Wednesday, chance of showers and storms, 75. On Thursday, scattered thunderstorms with a high near 77. Friday, showers and storms in 82. Currently, 63 degrees.
The grain market started the week by slicing through support levels to open downside risk in corn, soybeans, and the wheat markets. Cotton and most live cattle contracts were lower. Feeder cattle were mixed. Lean hog futures pushed solidly higher for a second consecutive session.
Live, yes, we have no tacos. Via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we chat with Carl Setzer from Consys. Later, Carrie Artak from ArtakAdvisory.com, and directly following the news, Jack Scoville from the... Some newsman, Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Laurie.
Okay, I gotta ask, is it because it's Monday?
That's right. Nope.
That's why you have no tacos?
There are no tacos on Monday. Whoever heard of
tacos? No tacos, Monday? Cheeseburger.
That's right. Cheeseburger Monday. Or a delicious, juicy pork burger. You can put cheese right on a pork burger.
Oh, yeah, I will.
Let's make darn everybody happy and do it like one pork patty and one beef patty.
Oh, wow. See,
Am I right? Now
you're into the crazy talk, dude. now you're getting crazy. Oh, really, man. Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That's Davis. This is AgriTalk. Boy, what a terrible way to start the week for these grain markets. That was rough. When you've got 20-plus cent losses in wheat, close to that in soybeans, well, 20-plus cents, in soybeans. And, you know, corn was trying all day, and it just kept getting tugged lower and lower and lower. And market end of the day, close to session lows. The only market that really, and I mean, I'm looking at the milk markets, I'm looking at the cotton markets. The only market that showed a whole lot of life today was one that showed the least life leading into today, and that was that lean hog market. Although it was a second consecutive higher close in lean hogs. It's been under a lot of pressure here recently, and just some short covering sliding in there.
I got the July WTI up $2 to 80.45, if that does anything for you.
Well, it obviously didn't. I mean, yeah, bean oil was 5 points higher in the front month contract, exactly. But that stuff is so cheap that, a 5 point move in that market in either direction is nothing. And it was a nothing kind of a day in the bean oil market. But yeah, it got the energies trading higher today, and the ag commodities did not want to follow along. We'll talk to Carl about it. We've got Carl Setzer on the show today. Looking forward to that. Jack Scoville coming up right after the news with Davis.
Well, Chip, it was a tough start to the week in the wheat complex with prices sharply lower. July soft red winter wheat futures gapped lower and tried to fill the gap, but stopped short of resistance at Friday's low of 6.11. Front month SRW finished on session lows and below support at the May 1 low of 5.93.5. Next support on the daily chart is at the April 18 low of 5.50. July hard red winter wheat futures also saw significant chart damage today. Next support at the April 18 low of 5.67.75. Harvest progress in the U.S. and rain in the forecast for southern Russia encouraged today's aggressive selling. Export inspections of wheat in the weekend of June 13 totaled nearly 375,000 metric tons, in line with trade expectations. July hard red winter wheat futures today 22 cents lower at 6.05.5. July SRW wheat down 21.25 to 5.91.5. July spring wheat closed at 6.38.5, down 17 cents. It's not that long ago, Chip, we were celebrating seven handles here.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And look at it. The market has just fallen apart on us. And, you know, the export inspections number, 375,000, it's not a terrible number for wheat, but, boy, it did nothing for the market today.
Yep. Export inspections of corn in the weekend of June 13 totaled 1.29 million metric tons. That was in line with trade expectations. The lack of drought stress on the U.S. corn crop is keeping sellers in control of the corn market. December corn today gapped lower, rallied to fill the gap, and then fell back to post a low-range close. Adding pressure to the corn market was spillover selling from wheat and soybeans, as well as the quick harvest of the Brazilian Safrina corn crop. July corn futures today were 6.25 cents lower, 4.43.75. September corn down 70 cents to 4.50. December corn futures closed at 4.63, down 7.25 cents, Chip.
Yeah, Safrina corn crop down in Brazil is between 20 and 25% harvested now. That's well ahead of the pace that we saw a year ago.
Well, more rain in the Midwest over the weekend put the bean market on the defensive to start the week. Export inspections of beans in the weekend of June 13 totaled just over 334,000 metric tons. That was also in line with trade expectations. The lack of drought stress on the U.S. bean crop is a weight on the market. And soybean meal today pulled bean prices downward as traders exited long meal short bean oil spreads. Bean charts turned decidedly negative for old and new crop futures today. November beans opened on session highs and closed near session lows and below the April 19 low. Next support in Novi beans, the Feb 26 low at 11.22.75. July beans today were 22 cents lower, 11.57.75. August beans down 22.25 to 11.46. November beans closed at 11.30.25. That's down 19.5 cents, Chip.
Market has decided to retrace that early spring rally, and it, boy, it's getting after it.
Yep. December cotton today was 37 points lower at 71.77. On your livestocks, August live cattle futures opened higher and spiked resistance at Friday's high before turning down to close near session lows. Boxed beef prices higher again this morning on slow movement. August fat cattle today 37.5 cents lower at 182.80. August feeders down 65 at 261.32.5. And July hogs gapped higher and opened on the low of the day, posted a high range close on support from a second day of short covering. July lean hog futures today $1.72.5 higher, 95.37.5. Chip Lorre.
Yeah, you know what they say about hog market and gaps. Mm-hmm. A downtrending market does not gap higher unless it's hogs. Mm-hmm. You can't really trust that kind of a move in the hogs. Thanks, buddy. Let's bring in Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. How you doing, Jack?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Well, better than the corn market, better than the bean market, better than the wheat market. That was a crappy way to start the week, wasn't it?
Oh, it sure was. And really kind of at a loss for words because, you know, it's kind of hot and dusty here in the Midwest, and I would have thought that that would have taken precedence. But apparently it's these tax issues down in Brazil raising their ugly head again. Looks like the government's going to introduce the legislation. And so farmers are pushing some beans and corn out the door down there, from what I understand. And so that's part of it. And the other part of it is Russian prices are under some pressure as well. So yeah. For wheat. So it was outside, it was, you know, International Markets Day, and had very little to do, I think, with what's going on here in the Midwest.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a great point. You know, trying to figure out exactly what's going to happen next out of Brazil with their politics and their tax policies, boy, this is that's a risky game trying to figure that out, isn't it?
I would think so, yeah. I mean, I think the initial proposal kind of caught everybody really off guard here last week, and was a reason to see the market move significantly higher because the farmers pulled back as well. But now they've and Congress sent it back, took no action, said, no, we're not going to do this. And so the market kind of relaxed, and now their government's back at it again. So it's going to be a while. We're going to probably be up and down and up and down, reacting to the latest news headlines out of Brazil for a while now.
Okay. All right. Well, we will keep an eye on it. Thank you, Jack. Appreciate you, buddy. We'll talk to you later.
Sounds great.
All right, Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. Coming up next, Carl Setzer from Consus Ag Consulting right here on AgriTalk.
We all know the expression, make hay while the sun shines. Well, by the look of things, the sun is starting to shine on interest rates again, which means it's a great time to team up with a lender that knows the business of farming, FBN Finance. With flexible terms and rates and pre-qualification for farmland loans up to $3 million for qualified applicants, you can trust FBN Finance to shed light on your ideas to expand your farming operation. And right now, get $500 off closing costs for farmland loans over $250,000. Start your farmland loan today at fbn.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND. That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance LLC and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions may apply. NMLS ID 1631119.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
AgMarket.net is releasing its upgraded app. The AgMarket.net app with revised MyFarm software is now available on Google Play and the Apple App Store. A desktop version is available through the website. Evaluate multiple profit scenarios, maintain a dashboard of farm marketing operations, and view local cash and futures bids. Track production costs, calculate dynamic break-evens, and record crop sales within multiple farms. Download it today at AgMarket.net or call 844-4AG-MRKT to learn more. There's a risk of loss in trading futures under options.
Join Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin to discover, taste, and celebrate Wisconsin dairy during June Dairy Month. Did you know that Wisconsin cheese can be found in 99% of grocery stores across the country? Just look for the Proudly Wisconsin Cheese badge at your local grocery store to support Wisconsin family farms. Taste the finest Wisconsin dairy products across the state or visit a dairy breakfast on the farm to learn more about Wisconsin dairy.
This June Dairy Month message is brought to you by Bauer Seeds and Service, your pioneer seed dealer serving Western Wisconsin.
Which would you rather have? World-class seed genetics and traits or seed that's been tested and proven to yield in your area? With Pioneer, you get both, plus the support of a dedicated local team. For the unbeatable combination of elite seed genetics, local knowledge and insights, and rigorous local testing, contact the team at Bauer Seeds and Service, your local authorized Pioneer sales representative serving the Durand area. At Pioneer, our name is our mission, and what's next happens here.
Chickens have come home to roost. Find out whose fence they're perched on today on AgriTalk.
Brass Monkey!
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. It's Monday afternoon, and it was a rough start to the week in the grain markets today. No question about that. So the cattle complex, let's just call it mixed. I mean, even in the live cattle market, prices were just slightly lower. So I'm not going to call too much damage on that one. And a nice short covering rally going in that hog market for a couple of days here. That's good to see happening. All right, let's get to today's guest analyst, Carl Setzer, Consus Ag Consulting. Carl, how you doing, buddy?
Doing absolutely fantastic, Chip. How are you today?
Good, man. Happy Father's Day, a day late.
Well, thank you, and same to you.
Thank you. Appreciate that. So I'm watching the radars this weekend. I'm paying attention to the weather outside, and I'm thinking to myself, this is not going to be a good start to the week. You know, Jack just said, hey, we're starting to get a little dry and a little dusty in some areas, but is that over your way in the Eastern Belt?
No. We, overnight, we had pretty good storms come through. We picked up a half inch here. You know, I'm sitting here talking, the home farm up in western Wisconsin. Guys can't get hay to dry up there. They've got rains coming through. So, it's drying out a little bit, you know, but man, look at a drought map and find me any color other than white unless you're out in western Kansas, you know?
Yeah.
That was a big question today is, you know, with the heat building here, how come futures aren't rallying? I said, well, you know, corn's knee high and you're getting 90 degree temperatures is a lot different than pod fill and ear fill when you're getting 90 degree temperatures.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Carl. And I get it. I know what Jack is talking about because you look at that weather forecast and there are some drier conditions, especially for the Eastern Belt, but the heat is something to pay attention to. But man, we've talked about this before. I know you and I have. The recipe for building a corn yield is get it to pollination as quick as you can. And heat in June helps to get it to pollination as quick as we can. And with all water slows things down a bit. We can't forget that. So right now they might be an offset in some areas, but for the most part, with as little of the corn crop under drought stress as we're seeing right now, it's tough to get worried about it for weather concerns, isn't it?
Well, Chip, I want to take that just a step further, and I get it. I'm going to open a whole can of worms here with this comment I'm about to make, but that's why we have limited time. That's you can answer the questions when I'm up. But
nice.
Let's look at the weekly crop conditions for a second, and this is my once-a-year statement. You cannot determine yield with crop condition. End of story. Can't be done. Don't care. Right. Here's what I do care about. Currently, 96% of the soybean crop and 95% of the corn crop is rated fair or better.
Yeah.
That tells me that very little of this crop is under stress right now, Chip. Yeah. I mean, 5% or less is under stress right now. And granted, I get it. We're looking at the calendar. It's June 17th. Those ratings will decline. I mean, I get it. I understand all of that. But the simple fact is this crop is not seeing significant stress right now. Let's wait another week or 2 weeks. If this weather holds, that's going to be a different story, but we'll worry about that a little later on.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point about worrying about it later on, man. You make such a good point. It's one of the reasons, and Davis will check me on this. I mean, I'm as worried about the amount of crop rated poor to very poor as I am probably more concerned about the crop rated poor to very poor than I am crop rated good to excellent. Good to excellent tells you that it's off and running. That poor to very poor talks to you about stress and crop that's under stress and like you, the point you just made, Carl, it's just not a big number right now. And, whew, They're starting to lean on corn and beans because of it, aren't they?
That's my opinion. We're starting to see this pressure already build in the market. And today's action, really, corn held in there fairly well. I mean, when you look at the rest, but let's look at that fund position. Funds this morning short, 226,000 corn contracts, 50,000 on the soybeans and 50,000-60,000 on the, today was a catch up day with the funds. I mean, this liquidation starting to take place. And really, I think a lot of spread trading, especially that corn to wheat complex, just a couple weeks ago here, July corn, July wheat was sitting at 220 and we're barely at $1.50 right now. So I think we're starting to see. This market isn't trading traditional fundamentals right now because there just isn't anything on that fundamental side to really push this market higher. But yet at the same time, I can't give you a list of 10 reasons right now either.
Right. Good point. You know, on the wheat trade, we got to throw this out there. The wheat trade, they moved some rain into southern Russia. And boy, that seemed to give the sellers all kinds of encouragement in that wheat market, didn't it?
That got things moving. The Russian, the government's sitting here saying, yeah, we have some crop loss, but every one of those fields that was lost got reseeded. Now, like you said, we're going to pick up a little bit of moisture on there. Russia has not backed off on their export picture. Creeping in here, that Australian crop, starting to get bigger and bigger estimates out of there. All of a sudden, that wheat story just isn't quite as bullish as it was 30 days ago, Chip.
Boy, and they've punished it because of that. It was fun when wheat was rallying because it was helping corn out every day, it seemed like. It's no fun when they're taking the premium out of that wheat market because it's hurting corn every day. Is what it
exactly
seems like now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We had just started to see some non-traditional buyers show up in, the Philippines stepping in and buying corn, over feed wheat when we were at that $2 plus. And it didn't take long for, high prices cure high prices, and wheat will prove that to you every day.
Yep. Yeah. That's right. Okay. China bought some beans last week. Unknown bought some beans last week. We're Jack was talking about it in the opening segment there, the uncertainty over what Brazil is going to do with its export taxes. It almost feels like China decided we better get some beans bought out of the U.S. in case this Brazilian export tax things happen. Is that kind of the feeling you got?
I think there's a little bit of that, but we have to remember if these tax changes take place, that's for next year. Okay. China's buying soybeans for 23-24. I think they're just filling the slots right now. Okay. I think this was more because, and the reason I get to feel that way, Chip, is because it was small volumes. I mean, all six purchases were 15-16 million bushels. Yeah. For China, that's pencil dust. That's not a big purchases by any means, and that's why the trade didn't react. I'm a little bit more concerned with China looking out to 24-25, and we got a big old goose egg behind their name for purchases out there. Man. Every day and every week that we go by without China listed out there, now, granted, there's a whole lot of time for us to make up lost ground out there, but every day we go a little bit further without China purchasing in those contracts just puts some pressure on that entire complex.
Yeah, it is so unusual to not have some new crop beans for China on the books at this point in the process, and I think it's just that I don't know if it, boy, it's been a long time since we've been in this situation, isn't it, Carl?
It has been. And I mean, 19, I believe it's 19 years without China having any purchases on the books for us for new crop at this stage of the year. But China's going through some massive consolidation in their entire egg industry. We've seen it, Chip, and we've seen it in the hogs. We're seeing it in the beef. We're going to see it. You know, dairy is starting to take place. We're starting to see all kinds of contraction in China in their demand. And, you know, I think they maybe overbought a little bit, you know, on their soybeans, okay. Stepped in and purchased a few, maybe a little bit too much. So now we're starting to see a little back off from that.
Okay. All right. Very good, man. That flew by. When we come back, I want to talk. Let's go straight back to China when we come back, okay, Carl? And I know that you want to talk about some of the trends that are happening in the Chinese dairy industry. We'll cover that next with Carl Setzer, Conscious Ag, next.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. And more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I like a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com and check today's closes. For July, HRW wheat futures were 22 cents lower at 605.5. July SRW wheat down 21.25 to 591.5. July corn futures 6.25 cents lower on the day, 443.75. December corn futures closed at 463. That's down 7.25 on the day. July soybean futures 22 cents lower, 1157.75. Novi beans closed at 1130.25. That's down 19.5 cents. December cotton today was 37 points lower at 71.77. On your livestock, August fat cattle today 37.5 lower, 182.80. August feeder futures down 65 to 261.32.5. And July lean hog futures today $1.72.5 higher at 95.37.5. Get more market news every market day. Visit tryprofarmer.com.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members, our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
Dairy farmers, extend the life of your investment and keep the milk inspector happy when you resurface your mangers, feed bunks, feed carts, and more with a microepoxy surface from Osteoplastics and Supply. The microepoxy surface provides for easier cleaning of feed bunks, less feed waste, offers a non-skid surface, and withstands extreme temperatures and chemicals. You can repair your floors and equipment for less than replacing, and the increased milk production will pay for the installation. Find out more. Visit osteoplastics.com.
Resetting your password, unsubscribing from emails, printing anything. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with an auto owner's insurance independent agent, getting the right coverage for your business doesn't have to be one of them, so you can get back to more important things, like learning how that printer works. That's simple human sense.
Your hometown auto owner's insurance agents working for you, the Jerry Thompson Insurance Agency, downtown Durand.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, showers, maybe a thunderstorm, highs in the upper 70s. For tonight, chance of a storm with lows around 74. Chance of showers and thunderstorms on your Tuesday, otherwise mostly sunny. Windy with a high near 88. For Wednesday, chance of showers and storms, 75. On Thursday, scattered thunderstorms with a high near 77. Friday, showers and storms in 82. Currently, 63 degrees.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. We've cleared the schedule for you. Give us a call at 855-482-5524 and join the conversation.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad you're with us. We are in the middle of a conversation with Carl Setzer, Consus Ag Consulting. Carl, we were talking in the last segment there towards the end about Chinese demand, and you know the hog industry seems to be rolling over a bit. Poultry, same kind of story. You've got some information and some perspective on what's going on in the Chinese dairy industry. Tell me about it.
Yeah, Chip. I've been watching this a little bit because it's just, you know, the demand base on China for everything, for all commodities. When African swine fever hit and, you know, and then we had COVID and you name it else, China really got worried about their commodity supply and how much product they had on hand. And they panicked and they went out and they built everything they could. They built huge, you know, they added hogs, beef, overbought on soybeans, you name it. Dairy was not left out. China in 2001, Chip, had 5.7 million head of dairy cattle. By 2023, that was up to 7.1 million head, the third largest dairy producing country in the world. And on top of that, China still accounts for 20% of U.S. dairy product exports. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. Even with all of these cows in China that they're milking, Chip, it's like anything else that they've produced. You know, their soybean yields low, corn yields low. They're starting to build these up a little bit. Milk out of a cow in China, the country average is 2.5 tons of milk per year. In the United States, that's 12 tons per head. So jeez, all of a sudden, China's looking at it and saying, you know, if we would just farm better, we could scale back our inputs, our inputs and our imports. Mm-hmm. So they're looking at it. Okay, we need less feed. We, you know, they weigh all of this. So guess what? We saw it in the hog industry. China, you know, they're raising hogs in confinements now. We've seen it in their beef. We're going to see it in their dairy. And a little bit of me now, is China going to, does this mean that they're going to walk away from the import market on any commodity? No, that's not what I see taking place. But I do see China reevaluating what they need to import. And Chip, you know, the thing is with this lack of new crop sales to China on the soybeans, they'll step in. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, we're almost to where we're perpetually supplying the global market with soybeans. Almost, you know, I mean, it's almost constant. The same as it is with wheat. We got a constant wheat supply. We're starting to get that way with soybeans and corn. Why would a buyer go out 6 months from now and book anything with the chance it could be cheaper when you get there?
Right. Yeah. If you see a problem, the importers are becoming more reactive.
And by
that I mean they keep their powder dry until they absolutely have to step in and start buying and get their coverage in place. And the problem is going to be developing before they step in and get extended coverage in this market. From this point forward, Carl, I think you're exactly right on that. I don't know exactly what it means for prices, but it could, if I'm going to imagine, and the few conversations that I've had on this is it comes down to price swings get even wider going forward because it's got to be such a good deal. When prices are cheap, it's got to be such a good deal to get importers to extend their coverage. And then on the way up, if you're up because there's a crop problem someplace, you got to go even further to shut down their buying because they're just going to buy until they get enough of what they need.
Absolutely.
It's crazy.
Yeah, we're going to see this volatility we've seen, Chip. I to me, it's going to get you know, more intense. Yeah. And because, like you just said, you've got a whole string of buyers out here in the domestic market plus the global market just sitting there who are underbought. They don't have enough coverage on, you know, latest data out of China. They're only about 10% covered for their August soybean needs. Yeah. They'll be in to buy. But the thing is, all of a sudden, like you say, this market will drop and drop, and all of a sudden we'll come in, we'll see a tremendous sale to China, yeah, and it'll skyrocket right back up, and everything will stop again. That is the pattern we're in. And, you know, that makes it a lot more difficult to market cash grain, because the cash grain market is going to get, I think, hypersensitive. Yeah. and we're going to see these wider swings in basis.
Yeah. Yep. Let's talk about that a little bit more right now. I mean, there's all this, there's been a conversation on social media about farmers holding on to 2023 crop corn and just deciding to heck with it. I'm not going to sell it. You know, that if you've got cash in the bank, I guess that's a legitimate approach. But if you've got cash flow needs, I don't know how that works out. But there's still a lot of corn sitting out there to move, isn't there?
There's a tremendous amount of corn out in that market. Man, that's just sitting there. And we know it's out there. I mean, it's, you know, it's no surprise that,
right,
you know, and Chip, the global farmer is undersold right now. We're not seeing big sales out of South America either, the farmers in Brazil or Argentina. And in the U.S. here, yeah, there is no urgency. But you know what, guys, you know, when they need cash flow, we just see that ebb and flow in the market. It's not consistently being fed, but we've started to see maybe a crack in the dam a little bit. And where I look around this time of the year, Chip, is if I want to know where the crops look good, mm-hmm, I look at where old crop is starting to move.
Right.
Because the better a crop looks, the better your country movement is. I fully believe this corn story is going to remedy itself. We will start to see a little bit more movement. We always do. We get a little, you know, when everybody's in the field and everything else, we don't see movement. But, you know, we'll start to see as, you know, as the ratings come out and as, you know, the farmer looks at the crop and says it's not so bad, and you know, there's going to be bills coming due, we will see the sales. But really, look at the market. There's not a lot of incentive to just dump everything right now either. You know, it seems like farmers are rewarding rallies in the market. And when they see a little bit of basis strength, They're making marketing sales. They're just getting a little bit more choosy on when they do it. And I don't think the cash buyers are real happy with that. And that's where we're hearing that story come from, yeah. Chip.
Yeah. Okay, now that's on the corn side. What about beans? Because it feels like I'm hearing just the opposite on beans, that there's just very few left out there.
You know, it's funny, Chip. There's no beans in the country, but if you flash a pretty good basis, you'll find some. You know, let's sit and look at it. You know, there's going to be another 105 million bushels of soybeans in the country someplace this year than last, according to the USDA. There's soybeans out there. I think there's less soybeans because, you know, when we rallied hard, that market got rewarded pretty heavily. You know, farmers tend to gamble a little bit more with their corn than soybeans anyway. So to see soybean sales really doesn't surprise me, especially, Chip, in a market like this. A farmer can generate a lot more revenue off a soybean sale if he needs some quick cash flow than off a corn sale if he sells 5,000 bushels. So that, to see soybean sales a little higher, not too surprising.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there's got to be some beans left out there because the NOPA crush numbers that came out this afternoon kind of blew everybody away. As disappointing as last month was, this month feels pretty good. or I should say the May numbers feel pretty good. Came in at 183.625 million bushels. Trade estimate, I believe, was like 178.5. So, yeah, crushed 6 million more beans than what was indicated, according to NOPA.
Well, and Chip, the thing is let's look, we crushed more soybeans. Our crush was up, we only crushed 166 million bushels back in April. But the thing is, look at our soybean oil. The soy oil stocks came in 1.72 billion pounds. We were estimated at 1.77, and at the end of April, that was 1.75. So even with that big jump in crush, we did not see a build in soy oil. That's why oil separated itself from the rest of the complex today. And really, soy oil just trading green today was a gift when you look at futures dropping 22 cents or 22 cents on soybeans and $8 on meal. That the inclusion rate in biodiesel starting to tick a little higher. That's helping us with that oil demand there. So to me, that just gave the complex, you know, if we hadn't had them big numbers, the losses may have been a little bit uglier today.
Oh boy. Yeah. I mean, getting some good news on the demand side out of the domestic market, that certainly helped us. I don't think there's any question about it. Man, it's always fun talking with you, Carl. Thank you so much, buddy. Appreciate you.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for having me, Chip. It's always a good time.
Excellent. Carl Setzer, Consus Ag Consulting. All right, it is Monday afternoon. It means it's time to take a look at what's going on with the charts. We've got Kerry Artak, Artak Advisory, up next right here on AgriTalk.
June is Dairy Month. Did you know that Wisconsin dairy farms contribute an estimated $43 billion to the state economy? No other single product produced in Wisconsin creates a greater economic impact, and milk is the top commodity in Pepin, Pierce, Buffalo, Dunn, and Eau Claire counties. Thank you, dairy farmers, for all your hard work. This June Dairy Month message is brought to you by Farm First Dairy Cooperative, where it's always been about dairy producers and their cows, as it should be. Visit farmfirstdairycooperative.com for more information.
This June Dairy Month, we celebrate our hardworking dairy farm families. The hours are long and the job is tough. That's why Farm First Dairy Cooperative is driven to help farmers with milk marketing, advocate for policy change, and develop the next generation of young leaders. Farm First is one of the only cooperatives to offer milk loss disaster benefits to its members. Thank you to all dairy farm families this June. Visit farmfirstdairycooperative.com to learn more about how we put farm families first.
Farmers, is your stress starting to affect your work or your relationships? Feeling stress about finances or weather is common in farming. You're not alone. It can happen to any of us. From vouchers for in-person counseling to telecounseling from the comfort of your home, the Wisconsin Farm Center is here to help. If you're feeling overwhelmed, take that first step. Call toll-free 888-901-2558. That's 888-901-2558. A message from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection.
Celebrate June Dairy Month by stopping at O'Galley Cheese for their Dairy Month special. For the whole month of June, get $1 off per pound of these delicious, flavorful cheeses. Banana Pepper Monterey Jack, Cappuccino Monterey Jack, Garlic Pesto Monterey Jack, Sweet Fire Mango Monterey Jack, Morel and Leek Monterey Jack, Bruschetta Monterey Jack, and Mediterranean Cheddar. These cheeses will make your taste buds dance. Special is good in-store and online at O'Galley Cheese.
TJ Wilson, Director of Finance Sales at FBN, is here to talk about why farmers are choosing to finance their land with FBN Finance. TJ, as farmers consider where to get their land financing, why should they consider FBN Finance?
Yeah, at FBN Finance, we're dedicated to family farmers. We've created an experience to provide farmers all the essential information they need during their land financing journey. We offer our free land evaluation tool, AcreVision, to access land insights and metrics, land loan calculator to view estimated rates and fees when you are ready to get pre-qualified, or you can use your online application to take advantage of instant approvals on qualified applications.
Okay, you just mentioned pre-qualification, instant approvals. Can you explain those and how they might benefit farmers?
Yeah, if you're starting your process, we offer pre-qualifications so you know your loan possibilities from the start. You can go into negotiations with more confidence and speed up the timeline when you are ready. We created an online application that will save you time, and you can track your application's progress. Every minute counts, which is why we offer instant approvals where your land loan application could potentially be approved within minutes for land loans up to $2.5
million. Wow, okay. Are there any other benefits that we have not mentioned?
Yeah, everything we do here at FBN Finance is to empower farmers. With over $1.5 billion in funds committed across over 2,400 farmers and counting, we make it easy and affordable for you to finance your operation with land purchases, refinances, and improvements. In addition to our real estate offerings, ask us about how new customers can get 0% on an operating loan. And right now, we are offering AgriTalk listeners $500 off your closing costs for land loans over $250,000. All you need to do is fill out our form on fbn.com/agritalk or call us directly at 833-FBN-LEND, that's L-E-N-D, to speak with a loan advisor and mention AgriTalk.
Excellent. Thank you, TJ. That is TJ Wilson, Director of Finance Sales at FBN.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
In the morning, you're coffeed up and you're thinking. In the afternoon, you've calmed down, but you're still thinking. We're here all day. AgriTalk.
Are you still thinking, Davis, or have you checked out?
I'm right on the border, brother.
Right there?
Right at the tipping point. Yep, I'm right there.
Stay with us just a little bit longer, okay?
Got this? Okay. Okay.
I got it. Let's bring in Kerry Artek, Artek Advisory. Hey, Kerry, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good, Chip. Thanks for having me. How you doing?
Doing real fine. Glad that you are with us again this week. Don't forget, if you would like to take a look at the daily service that Kerry offers, just go to artacadvisory.com, A-R-T-A-C, advisory.com, and get signed up for a two-week free trial. Novi Beans, kick us off, Kerry.
Yeah, November beans last week settled below about a six-month channel bottom. That this week is 11.55 and three-quarter. That set off a 2 to 3 month sell signal for the November contract, anticipating now 10.74 even to 10.85, kind of a 10-cent range, well below the market. And I will add also the July contract settled today. It lagged a bit. Delayed. The July contract also closed below its respective channel bottom. So I'm rolling to November really in terms of the commentary because we'll be there before we know it here in the next week or two. 11.55 and three quarter, rising a little bit every week, can contain buying through July and below which later this summer we should continue south to 10.74 even to 10.85, even where not only may November bottom out into its expiration, but the broader soybean market perhaps through all of winter and into spring of next year. Upside, if we close the week Friday back above 11.55 and three quarter, that does neutralize that textbook sell signal that occurred last week. And with that, we could see gains into the very low 12.40s over the next 2 to 3 months. So 11.55 and three quarter, big pivot point now, below which 10.74, even a 2 to 3 month target. If we close above 11.55 and three quarter, 12.52, 12.42 half becomes the next 2 to 3 month upside where we could top out into November expiration. And on to July corn. When I mentioned corn, I've got a channel top that's a one-year channel top that I've been mentioning on your show now for the last few months. It's dropping about 2 cents a week. It was in the 470s just a couple of months ago. It is now 459 half. It is our ceiling of resistance that I've been mentioning we need to close above to actually sort of neutralize this bearish momentum and actually reverse it altogether. If we can close above 459 half, and I don't expect that this week because we had a near-term sell signal that played out today, but if we can close above 459 half, July should reach 581 even by its expiration, and the broader market, I'm talking December contract really now, could make its way all the way up to what is now at 565 even within about 3 to 5 months. That is a long-term 3-year descending channel top that is dropping at a pretty steady pace as well. So 459.5 is our ceiling of resistance, and we do need to close above it. Until then, the July contract itself can fall to 421.75 by its expiration. And the broader market, that is to say the December contract, can continue south back to 404.25. That is the February low from earlier this year on the weekly chart over the next 2 to 3 months. The only potential saving grace would be the fact that you've got these back contracts are a little higher price. And so if we could just get some sideways trade here for the next month or so, just by virtue of the rollover, these markets may roll over that critical 459.5. Remains to be seen. And finally, August live cattle. We came off of a meaningful support at 177.5 over the last couple of weeks. I do think this live cattle market, August in particular, can make its way up to 187.80 over the next, say, by the end of July, over the next 3 to 5 weeks. That is an objective. We closed today at 182.80. So holding above 177.50, 187.80 remains a 3 to 5 week target where August can top out into its expiration and perhaps the broader live cattle market through summer activity. If we can close above 187.80 over the next 3 to 5 weeks, then 196.62 becomes the next 3 to 5 week target. And that is actually long-term resistance on the broader, weekly chart that can contain annual highs. But I don't expect to see 196 and change unless we can close above that 187.80 level. And in fact, if we close below 177.50, and I don't see that this week, but it could happen over the next week or two, just the opposite. We have a sell signal in the order of about 8 handles south to 170.27. That would likely play out over the following 3 to 5 weeks. 170.27 is a yet to be tested 4-year rising trend defining speed line that is projected off that April 20 COVID low. And it can contain selling through the rest of the year. And in fact, above 170.27, the ultra long-term dynamic still remains bullish for the live cattle market. And that is really all I have, Chip.
Fantastic. Good work, Kerry. Appreciate the updates there. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you, sir. You have a great week.
You too. You too. All right, Davis, let's jump straight to it and get a look at the National Weather Service 6 to 10 day outlook. It's going to take a lot of effort to explain this this temperature outlook.
Okay.
Actually, no, it's not. It's above normal. Period. End of story for the entire Corn Belt. And not just slight odds, not just leaning to above normal. Pretty certain that we are going to see above normal temperatures June 23rd through the 27th. Now, in the precipitation outlook, near normal precip is expected in the northern production areas, above normal in the southern and eastern production areas. Jump out to the 8 to 14 day. The above normal temperatures stick around. Higher odds for above normal temperatures in the eastern belt than in the center of the belt, but we're still looking at an elevated likelihood of above normal temperatures in the middle of the belt. And then let's just call it near normal to above normal on the precipitation outlook for the Corn Belt. Above normal is going to be favoring the center of the belt, Minnesota, Iowa, down into Missouri. You got near normal on the eastern and western edges of the Corn Belt for the expectations. It was an interesting conversation with Carl. I wanted to bring that up again.
Okay.
You know, we're not guaranteeing or even saying this crop is in the bin. Carl said it a couple of times. If this weather forecast holds true, give us another 10 days or 2 weeks, and we could be looking at a different attitude. But boy, this week, it just feels like the weather and crop conditions, we're going to get the USDA crop condition report here in just a few minutes, but it sure feels like weather and crop conditions are going to have us on the defensive. All right, thank you so much for listening today. Certainly appreciate it. Tomorrow morning, Senator John Bozeman from Arkansas. We've got Vince Malanga. And tomorrow afternoon, Sam Hudson, Corn Belt Marketing.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. Health insurance has never been so easy and affordable. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more,
give us a call at 800-801-2730. That's 800-801-2730.